We recently found out at one of the city council meetings that we might be paying a little bit more for recycling and waste removal. So we invited Dave Twombly in from Central Coast Disposal to talk to us about it. Tell me a little bit about what we learned from that meeting.
Well, a definite good concern from our city council and our mayor as far as taking care of the citizens. They're definitely concerned about price and cost, and well, they should be because that's what they were elected to do. But if you've paid attention, Douglas County is no longer recycling at this point in time because of the complications in China. So China was accepting recycling, had up to 15% contaminants, and then their government decided this is too much of a mess, so we're not going to take any recycling unless it has less than 0.5%. Well, that's when we said no more plastics.
That's a big change, though, right? That, I mean, from 15% to 0.5%. I mean, they didn't even give you any like incremental, hey, over time, we're going to lower it to this.
No, actually, there's a little misconception that in 2013, 2014, they started complaining, saying that we want it cleaned up. But at that point in time, the government was telling the people getting the materials that we want you to fix it. So nothing was being changed because humans are creatures of habit. So if they think this is recyclable, I mean, that's kind of a general attitude. If I think it's recycling, therefore it is recycling, although it isn't. And so that's where the contaminants were coming from. Well, then the Chinese government said enough is enough. You didn't fix the problem, so we're going to fix the problem. And that was it. It slammed on the brakes. And so some of it started going to Malaysia and other markets, but those markets are flooded, so they're not taking it. So the price of recycling has continued to increase. So without plastics in it, we've been able to use the markets here in the United States. So because, you know, most of it's fiber. So I take all my recycling to International Paper. And what is International Paper? Are they doing paper? Yeah. You know, so that's fiber products. So the plastic markets, they can accept plastics, but they're considered a contaminant. They have to dig them out. Then they have to find a market. There is a small market for ones and twos. So when they dig this product out, it makes your price go up by $30 a ton. So, you know, I do between 15 and 17 tons a week. So you're looking at about $500 more a week if we want to recycle plastics. And the markets, you know, we have to have faith. They will change and they will get better. But it's education is going to be a huge element so that if anything gets reintroduced. I'll tell you a short story. There was a concerned individual that had kept recycling our cat food cans, but they weren't willing to clean the cat food cans out. They're like, well, it's still aluminum. You know, it still needs to be recycled, but I don't want to wash all these cans. So what happens is those cat food cans are making your paper dirty because what's not being cleaned out is going on the paper, and the paper is the one thing that we can recycle right now.
Right.
So not that aluminum can't get recycled, but the bulk of our stuff is paper. So it's like you've got to get rid of the impurities. You've got to get it clean. So Lane County's come out with the slogan, when in doubt, throw it out, which is actually a really good slogan. I mean, I want it to be recycled, so therefore I'm going to put it in a recycling bin. Well, if it's not prepared correctly, you're actually causing more of a problem than you're generating a solution. So if you have that tomato juice can and you open it with a can opener but don't take the lid all the way off and pour it, and you're like, well, I can't get the rest of the tomato juice out of there. Well, when in doubt, throw it out, because that tomato juice is going to, you know,
contaminate everything else.
Yeah, you're going down the wrong road. So that being said, when everything backlogs and nobody's like, we got to have it, it's a commodity. It's like everybody wants oil, price of oil goes up. We have too much oil, price of oil goes down. Well, right now, we have too much recycling. So what happens? They're not going to buy it for as much, or they're not going to pay for it at all. And yet we still have a process where all this recycling is still coming. So there's an expense to recycling, and it will be analyzed again in a year, and hopefully that price comes down. So they've given adjustments for operational. We have an operational adjustment of 3%, but we also have a margin for recycling, but that margin is established so it can be taken away. And that was forward thinking of city council and city manager, and they use an auditor, Bell and Associates, and he's the one that proposed we have to keep our thumb on the pulse of the recycling market. For now, there's going to be increased cost, and in the future, we project that it's going to be a lower cost. Well, at least we're all hoping that.
So we've been talking about this for just about a year now. I mean, at least since I've been back, we've been talking about it quite a bit there. And there doesn't seem to be any clear indication of any change coming real soon. So how do we know? How do we prepare for this? I know part of the meeting they talked about maybe going to every other week recycling, but from what you've said and from what other people said, I kind of agree that that would be almost like not doing it at all.
Yeah, so what we don't want to do is create the opposite habit of saying, okay, well, when in doubt, throw it out. I'm just going to throw everything out, because then what are we doing to our planet? I mean, we all have a responsibility, and that's where the ones that are really concerned are really upset, which rightfully so. That's kind of a bummer, where you were thinking that all this recycling effort that I was putting out, look what great and good I'm doing, and now I'm told, no, don't do it, and worse than that, if I do it, it's bad. We don't want to generate that attitude. We want to continue reflecting the attitude that recycling every week, so the habit stays there, because it's going to come back. It's not... It's like any other thing where here's a word glitch, or there's a wrench in the system. We have to fix it. It's going to take some time to fix. And that's going to take a period of education. So that being said, the only way I'm going to know, I may know a month before you, because I read periodicals and I'm in the industry. So I get phone calls and I talk to my international paper, Lorena Young. I have regular correspondence with her. You know, where's her? Because she's the one, she buys it from us or gets it from us. It charges at this point in time, but she also brokers it. So when she sees a market coming, she's going to be like, hey, I think our market's coming. We have a market for this. Let's implement it back into the system. So when you're saying, how do we know, it's going to be you and I having a conversation once again. So George calls me on the phone and says, Dave, we need to have a conversation about this. I hear we're reintroducing this. I'm going to buy some advertising so that people understand they need to do it right. It needs to be clean. Remember, impurities are the bad. Don't put your can in there if the can's got something in it. It can only go in there if it's rinsed out. Water is not an impurity. So when it rains in Oregon, we know it's not an impurity. So if you wash it out and there's still water in it, that's not bad. If there's something else in it,
that's bad.
So we're going to talk about cleanliness and the proper way to recycle it. And when markets come back, we're going to re-implement it, but we don't want to break the habit. We want it out there weekly. We want your focus to still be on it, because we don't want... First off, they're a resource. We don't want those resources going into a landfill, creating methane gas and, you know, destroying our ozone layer. We want the resources to go back into the system, but when they can, not just because we want them there.
Give me a little history. I remember when I was living in North Carolina, I remember the introduction of our county there putting it in, and it was ones and twos, period. Which were the most recyclable because of the way they were made, because of the plastic that was in them.
Correct.
When did all of a sudden, was it accidental that it became three, fours, and fives? Or was there a change in the processing where they could then accept three, fours, and fives? What happened?
Basically, what happened was that we're shipping it to China. So China, they did have some... So you got to look at the boom in China, where China started producing more and more and more and more, and now they're on the decline. So when they needed raw materials, they didn't have the raw materials. So they're like, we want materials. So they were actually using a good portion of those three, four, five, and sevens. So now it's the market. There is somewhat of a market for ones and twos because it's a usable plastic. But now that nobody's in that big construction boom anymore, three through seven, it may be a very long time before those come back. I see ones and twos coming back in the near future, specifically the beverage bottles. So it's going to be – first thing that's going to come back in is milk jugs and translucent beverage bottles. So that's going to be the first thing to come back, because those plastics – you can renew them right back into it. I mean, if you look at some of your plastics that you buy, like I got an Earth 201 right here, and it says right here it was made with 100% recycled plastic, and it's a number one. So
it can be recycled again.
It can be recycled again. So that being said, and I may have, no, 100% recycled plastic under renew. So that being said, though, that's a number one plastic. Number one plastic can be reused and reused and reused. Number two is the same way. A lot of your carpet is made out of a number two plastic. But it's got to be the milk jug because it's not colored, and then they dye it because you want your color specifically. Mm-hmm. So I could say that's the first thing that's going to come is translucent beverage bottles and milk jugs. That's going to be number one. Then the next thing down the road you're going to see after that is going to be all number twos, but they're going to probably request them in a separate market. So, and that could be anywhere from 5 years, could be anywhere from 3 years, 5 years. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know if I did, I wouldn't be working as hard as I do.
Now, I know the mayor referenced a video that he had seen on YouTube, and I thought it was a great video too, where they're making walls out of plastic, they're making highways out of plastic and all this stuff. But for something like that to happen on a scale, say in a town like Florence, that's almost kind of unthinkable for someone to start up a company just to service like Western Lane County. Would that, or is that?
You know, I would never discourage that. Mm. I oftentimes talk to the high school classes and I tell them, if you're clever enough to take glass, for instance, and make glass into a product that you can sell, you get glass. Right now we pay $38 a ton to get rid of our glass. So if you can take that, I'll give it to you for free because I don't have to transport it. Mm. You know, I'll even pay you $10 a ton if I can do it right here in Florence. I would never discourage somebody from thinking that. I think it would be a tough reality. But entrepreneurs are made every day,
yeah,
and they're made by clever thinking. So if you're asking me that, I'm encouraging everybody to listen to this. Yeah, figure out any one of these recycled products we do, whether it be plastic, tin, aluminum, glass. If you can do something for our economy in Florence and you can produce it to where you can ship it, the drawback to Florence being is that we're not in the transportation chain. In other words, if you create it here, then and you're good enough at it, that means other people are going to bring it to you, but then you've got to ship it out. So your right. costs are going to be higher than somebody else. So somebody who's in a shipping chain, like right off of I-5, they can produce it and they're saving that money. So they're going to be that much more competitive with you. So if it can be done, unless it's patented, then you're going to end up with competition and your market's only going to last for a short period of time. Mm. And that's just general, that's just Portland State University talking 30 years after going to school there.
Right.
So that's the way I see it. But I also would never discourage it. If you can figure it out, I'm behind you. That's a wonderful thing. It's, if we could have an industry in this community, any kind of industry, but especially one related to my field, that would only be a benefit. You're up against some challenges.
Well, it's funny. You mentioned glass. I was in the glass business for a few years way back when, and we used to take the sliding glass doors and separate them and make greenhouses out of the glass because they were tempered glass, and you could make the greenhouses out of them. I wonder if anybody's doing that around here.
Well, I don't, and that's a glass product that we don't recycle.
You don't do that.
That tempered glass is one we can't take. So that's another thing. When in doubt, throw it out. People are always trying to recycle their Pyrex dishes. Well, Pyrex is not made of the same glass as a bottle or jar.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, we recycle glass bottles and jars only.
Yeah.
And
that's
so, and that's another unfortunate, confusing thing about the industry. I mean, people try to recycle tennis shoes sometimes or jeans or what have you. Those are great recycle items, but those go to Goodwill, St. Vinny, or that kind of a market.
Right. That's how they're recycled. Yeah.
Right. And so that's a confusion at the curb, though, because that kind of thing is an impurity that shows up in a recycling. So it's very specific where you take a recycle and what you recycle.
So somewhere down the road, probably in short fashion, there will be some sort of re-education.
Absolutely.
For residents.
Yes, and right now it's been hard, but I will say if we had a report card right now, I'd give the citizens of Florence a 99. They're doing an A. We still have those few that want to put contaminated cans and contaminated, you know, aluminum and metal cans in there. And there's still a little bit of people that are still trying to sneak plastics in there or plastic bags. So those are the ones that would bring you down from hitting 100% down to your 98%, 99%. Remember, we're supposed to be at 99.5. That's where the industry wants us at.
Right.
So at 99 means we're really close. Yeah. We're still a half a percent away. So re-education, when we add more, that means we're going to work that much harder to educate because we need to be at that level. If we really want to see us, if we really want to be doing the environment good, you need to be at that level. So there is going to be a reintroduction in the near future, and we're going to work hard in education. No lids.
Right.
Translucent bottles. And they got to be rinsed out. You can't leave the milk in them. You can't leave the soda in them. You can't leave the juice in them. They've got to be rinsed out and no lids.
Yeah, so, that's the big thing. I mean, see people put the lid. Oh, it's plastic. You know, I just put the lid back on.
Right. Well, and it's a contaminant.
Yeah.
Ironically, that lid by itself, if it was a single stream, would probably be recycled. Mm. But when it goes in there, now it's too small. Anything under 3.5 ounces, that was the old rule. When we were recycling plastics, it's still going to be in the new rule. Anything under 3.5 ounces doesn't go to the processors. So it's an impurity. It's garbage. It's in the way. So,
well, Dave, thank you so much for enlightening us. I mean, it's one of those things where we just got to keep talking about it.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Exactly. I do have a report card, though, I want to share with you.
Sure.
So I want to show you how well we've done in the waste industry here in Florence. So our PUD, since 2010 till present, their increase in costs has been 24.5% to the community.
Since what year now?
Since 2010 to present. And us to our residential customers since 2010 to present is 26.4. So hand it to PUD, they're beating us by 1.9%. Darn it, I'll try to fix that. And wastewater is 51.1%. So we're in there. It's not when you see your bill, realize that we're staying within the norm. And I'm proud to say that both companies, I won't take all the glory, you know, we're in the market. We're staying competitive and we're taking good care of you.
That's good, and we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break now for news, weather, and sports here on Coast Radio, but we'll come back with more Our Town after that at the next hour, where we'll talk about some boating safety, and we'll see about the electric car, what the status of that is, as well as continuing the conversation about what to do if you're a kid or an adult this summer. You're listening to Our Town on Coast Radio.